Greetings, programs and users. It is time once again for another episode of Old Nerds Drinking. I am John Patrick, the Master Control Program. Here with me is...
Rogen. It's been a minute.
It has. On this... Oh, I forgot. On this holiest of days that we gather together.
What is the holiest of days?
Today is the day of the dude. March 6th.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It starts out February 27th to start the Holy Week of Hangover. And because it's a leap year, we get an extra day of hangover. It's a dudist miracle. And today is the anniversary of the release of The Big Lebowski, so it is the day of the dude.
Oh, I've got to watch that this week then. At some point or another, I'll have to pull that up and I'll have to force the gang to watch it. Not that it will be forcing them.
Yeah, I know. Sadly, I did not make myself a Caucasian.
Isn't that a white Russian?
Yeah, but we're boycotting Russia, so we call them Caucasians.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But we are old nerds and we are drinking.
What are you drinking?
So it is the that time of year where Meijer's is clearancing out all of their excess alcohol. So I have some interesting stuff in the fridge for if we ever do a record together. But right now I am drinking BrewDog Bushwood Beer Caddyshack Pilsner.
Everything about that sounds terrible. BrewDog, Bushwood. Okay, Caddyshack, yeah. I mean, it just sounds like an off-the-wall combination of words.
Here is the absolute worst part of it. Brewed in Ohio.
Okay.
5% alcohol by volume. It's got the groundhog on it. It is a crisp pilsner.
I don't mind pilsners. They're okay, provided they're not too hoppy.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is Be the Ball, Bushwood Country Club. Yeah, actually, I'm pretty okay with pilsners. My Polish roots require me to be. I am drinking it out of my U.S. drinking team mug that I got at the citywide garage sale a couple of years ago.
It has a whistle on it. You had to explain that to me.
Oh, yeah. And the best part of all, I got this from the Catholic church I used to go to. They were like, they had a garage sale of the church garage that had just accumulated junk for God knows how many years. And it's like, how much for this fine beverage holder? I believe I got it for $1.
I was going to say, give me $1 for that good beverage holder there, sir.
Yeah. And then on one side it says, whistle for your beer. And then built into the handle is a little whistle. But what are you drinking, sir?
I am drinking up in Michigan, in the Detroit area. We have a really awesome mead company called Bee Nectar. And they were one of the very first companies to embrace this concept of mead doesn't have to be like Knights of Shining Armor, Camelot. This was one of the first companies that said, we're going to make interesting, cool, and really neat flavored meads that are very different from what everybody expects meads to be. And they have done a really fantastic job. Not all of their stuff I like, but I still admire the fact that they're willing to take risks and do different things. So I am drinking, this is Bee Nectar, Milton's Madness, I Said No Salt, Margarita Mead. It is one of my favorites. They don't come out with it very often. And every once in a while, you know, every couple of years, I'll treat myself to a bottle of it if I see it out there. And it's fantastic. It's great. Awesome mead. I love this stuff. Cause I really don't drink that much anymore, to be honest with you. Once I discovered the world of THC edibles, I kind of shifted more into that area and my intake of alcohol has cut down quite substantially, but I still do have a good mead every once in a while. I still try to enjoy one or when I'm on with you. Mm. And I do love this stuff. So
Margarita mead does sound like it might be worth a try.
I really need to take you to this place. I really do, because you'd like it there. They have this meadery has a game room. You walk into it, it's like a bar. And then on the right side of the wall, they have a wall full of games. And then they also have a game night. They used to have it on Thursdays where you could just show up and they'd be like, hi, do you want to play a game? We will teach you how to play a game. So you can go up and get your mead and whatever pretzels and stuff you want. And it's kind of like going to a gaming establishment and playing games, but they have mead there. and they get it. It's really cool. It's a little bit of a hike, but I would love to take you there some night, one of these days, and just be like, yeah, here it is. Let's sit down and play whatever, just go grab a game off the wall. Or if you go on game night, though, hey, what's going on? I don't know if they're still doing it since COVID, because I haven't been out there since before COVID, but I would imagine they're back to it, because that's a staple of what they are.
Yeah, it has been a minute since we recorded, sir.
Yeah, it has. And the only reason we're not recording in person tonight. And the only reason I'm not is because I have to be up super early tomorrow to have some work done on my house. And I didn't want to be like, because when me and John record at his house, we don't get started till late and we don't end till late.
Yeah, like the talking goes on forever.
Yeah. So I was like, this way we can just jump right into it and get to business, though.
I think the last episode we recorded was pre-Thanksgiving. So that's a good almost 4 month hiatus for us.
Yeah, my life's been chaos.
I know. I have, like, there were whole things we wanted to talk about that have risen and fallen by the wayside in the time. Like, I had a whole thing of, like, wanting to talk about that Netflix movie Rebel Moon. You wanted to talk about the Marvels. Christmas came and went. I had to completely tear apart one of my 3D printers and rebuild it. That was fun. I got to learn a lot about how the electronics go together on those. You got to dig a World War One trench in your backyard.
Yeah, because my whole sewer line collapsed. That was fun.
And let's see, what else?
Seen a big chunk of Madam Web. I could talk about that pretty quickly.
Oh, I have a feeling that's going to probably require its own separate episode.
We might have to, because as it is available for us to watch, I'm going to make everybody watch it.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it is by no definition of any, it is not a good movie. Everything that you have been told, seen, and read is true. Everything. I can't emphasize enough how horrible of a bad superhero movie that was. But when the time comes, and if I can get it, it's a good movie if you sit down and look at it from a perspective of a bad movie. If you try to go into it and watch it as a serious superhero movie, or someone who has any kind of love for real superhero movies, don't. And anybody who listens to this is probably already not seen it anyways. Or if you do see it and you do like it, fine, that's cool. I'm not downing you if you're a person who liked the movie. But it's bad. It's really, really bad.
I got a new cat, and I got a new car. So yeah, mm-hmm. Life events have happened.
Things have gone good for you. Well, I can't say having to get a new cat was good.
Yeah,
that wasn't necessarily good. So that's actually, who should we pour one out for? We should pour one out for the kitties.
Okay, yeah. So that was a story. So actually, we had adopted two kitties. Lana and Harlow, and we went to the local animal shelter, and they're like, yeah, we've had them for about a year each. They've both been here a while. They're both very affectionate cats, but they just haven't been adopted. They were both, they told us they were both about 2 years old. So we brought them home, and Lana is amazing. She is the sweetest, most playful cat. She is loving. She is amazing. Harlow had a really hard transition. She hit a lot, and it was a few weeks before she like would finally come out regularly. But then we noticed she was starting to lose weight, and she was starting to have a little bit of trouble. So we took her to the vet, and the vet's like, I don't know who told you this cat was 2 years old. This cat is likely over 10. And in end-stage kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
So Harlow didn't have a lot of time with us, but she got to spend her last days outside of a shelter. And she was such a loving cat, and she loved everybody except Lana. If Lana came downstairs, it was the growls and the hiss. But everybody else, she was just, pet me, love me, I'm going to rub up on you, until her very last. So we're gonna pour.
I have yet to meet the new cat. So.
Oh yeah, dude, Lana's a trip. You got to come over. Her original name in the shelter was Lolana, and my mom was like, "Well, we'll just call her Lola." And I'm like, "No, we're gonna call her Lana."
If you get another cat, I'm gonna put the vote in that you call it Danger Zone.
Lana. Well, here's the thing. one of my cousins had a neighbor who was moving into a new apartment, and the new apartment didn't allow cats. So she has to get rid of this cat. So we're probably going to end up taking in that cat, and it is an all black cat.
That's cool. Is it friendly? Because neither one of your last two cats really liked me at all.
Yeah. Apparently, this is a very friendly, very clingy cat. So it might be another Sammy situation where we're down here recording and she's like, what's going on? What's going on? I want to be part of this.
That's fine as well, as long as they don't walk on the mixing board. You need to get a box to put over the mixing board, or build the cat a station where it has its own little mixing board and can be involved and do its own little thing, even though it's not. Like, did you ever see the guy that made his cat a laptop just so his cat would have a place to sit while he's on his laptop?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or they'll put a secondary keyboard for the cat to sit on.
Exactly, yes.
The thing is, the reason Sammy wanted to be on the mixing board is the mixing board is warm. Mm-hmm. So I would have to have made something that was as equally warm as the mixing board.
They're called heated blankets or heating pads. That can be arranged. But I guess let's pour one out for the cats that have passed on. Even though we've done it before, I still think it's appropriate that we do it again. Because even though your cats didn't like me, I still liked your cats. I remember, what was the one that didn't have the tail? Was that Sammy?
That was Sammy. That was the one.
Yeah, Sammy would like come up to me, but it would be like, hi, what's up? How you doing? I'm cool. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
That was very much Sammy.
Yeah.
Sammy was 6 pounds soaking wet, her little stub tail, and would 100% fight God just to prove that she could.
Absolutely. And then she would walk over and fuck up the mixing board every time we recorded.
Yeah. All right, let's give this Pilsner a taste.
Alrighty.
Ooh.
Oh, I love this stuff. Mm.
Oh yeah, this is not good. I don't know if it's the fact that it exploded when I opened it from, like, you know, just sitting, but it's not even like hoppy. It tastes like, it almost tastes a little chemical.
I might like it then, because I tend not to like really hoppy beers. That's why I do like to drink stouts and porters and things like that. I can't stand IPAs.
Nobody
IPAs
can.
Are the scourge of my beer existence.
Well, one of the memes I recently posted in the group, or the Old Nudes Drinking Facebook group, was bearded man in flannel shirt accidentally drinks cat piss thinking it's really good IPA.
Who was that in that picture, though? That was somebody that was a star. It was supposed to look like, you know, they were supposed to look like a hipster.
No, it was just random flannel dude.
Was it? I thought it was somebody like important or special or what have you.
Yeah.
So,
actually I got some cider in the fridge I think you might like. So, well, if you, next time we record here, I'll have you try some of it.
Okay. Yeah. Leave it there. Have you been to Discount Drinks lately, to go back to the shelf where beer goes to die? Have you seen any, if there's anything in there lately?
I have not been to Discount Drinks. Like I said, I've been at Meijer's picking up stuff. So I got a couple of different things in the beer fridge of holding.
Okay. So, Dune.
Yeah.
Did you get the sex toy popcorn topper, popcorn thing?
No. Okay. So first of all, fuck you, AMC. Because you keep putting out these amazing fucking, like, specialty popcorn buckets. But do you want to know where there is not anywhere within, like, a 20-mile radius of me? A fucking AMC.
Yeah. Did you see the Ghostbusters one they're coming out with?
No, but I'm...
It's a ghost trap. It's a fucking ghost trap. The popcorn box is working, functional, opening and closing. I think it lights up, but I could be wrong. It's a ghost trap.
God damn them. Yeah. God damn them all to hell. But yes, I absolutely would love to have the fuckable Dune bucket just to, like, you know, take up space in the nerd cave.
Dude, you could use it for terrain as a gaming piece.
Actually, Adam Savage did that. He took the Dune popcorn bucket, repainted it, and turned it into a diorama.
You could do that with it. That's the cool thing. Like that's the one thing. Like these things. Like okay, I buy the Dune popcorn bucket. I buy the Ghostbusters thing. I spend the $30-$40 for whatever it is to get that popcorn thing. After I get it, what am I going to do with it? It's just more. I mean, it's cool, but I already have so much junk. Plus, there's no way in the fucking world my wife would let me buy that. She'd be like, "You're gonna spend $40 on her," because you know it's not cheap.
Oh yeah.
You know. You know what? Probably cost them $5, but they're going to sell it for $40 because they know that somebody out there is going to buy it.
The last time I got one of those was, I think it was when The Force Awakens came out. I got like the metal popcorn tin they had. Mm-hmm.
And how much was it?
You know what? I think it was like an extra like $10.
Okay.
And it sits in my basement. I believe it's just filled with dice. Hmm. Now, I will say, Disney World, a few years ago when The Force Awakens came back out, they had a popcorn bucket you could get at Disney World that was an AT-AT walker.
Oh, and dude, that sounds awesome.
I know a lot of guys who bought those to make gaming terrain with.
It's like when I was at Disney and I bought me and you the Thermite Coke bottles. They're cool, and I can look over and see it, but it just kind of sits there taking up space. It's nice. It's really cool. You know, and people walk in and go, you know.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of things going on in my life, in about a month, I will actually be going to Disney.
Really?
Florida? For the first time in my life, I am going to Disney World.
To the Disney park? Are you going to the Star Wars area?
So here's the thing. I'm going as a chaperone for my daughter's music department trip. We're not staying at a Disney hotel, so we're getting shuttled there every day, and we're basically at one park each day. And I think Star Wars Land, isn't that in like the All-American Studios park?
Yeah, it's in the movie studios
area. Yeah, so we're going there the first day. And I have already told my daughter that it's like, yes, so when we go to Star Wars Land, and she's like, well, Dad, what if not everybody in the group wants to go to Star Wars Land? I'm like, I don't fucking care. I'm the chaperone. You got to do what I say.
Yeah, I am so happy for you to go and see that. As much as I did not like the last three Star Wars movies and some of the new Star Wars, I won't say it all, but some of the new Star Wars projects I haven't liked, even though it's heavily themed towards Disney's, well, they're starting to change that now. The Disney is, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But even though it's that themed, like First Order and stuff like that, it's still so awesome. My only complaint that it wasn't bigger. Like I could have spent another 3 hours there. I think we spent about an hour there and then we ate there and, you know, there was still stuff that I missed. But I could have spent all day in that
Like I understand I probably will not get to ride like the rides because I'm sure there's probably like a multi-hour wait for all of them.
You got to ride the First Order ride. You have to. There's parts of that ride that you will see that it's just like, oh my God, I'm actually here standing in this thing.
So I followed Dan Poovenmeyer on TikTok, the guy who did the voice for like Phineas and Ferb and all that. And he made a TikTok where he was at Disney World riding the ride of like that ride, and it broke down in the middle. So, you know, he's got Disney people. So he's calling his Disney people from being stuck in the middle of the ride. Be like, what's going on here? What's going on? Like, you coming out to fix this? We're waiting.
It was like that last time we went there for Halloween and we were inside the Haunted Mansion. The Haunted Mansion ride kept breaking down, which sucked because, like, how cool is this that I'm at Disney World on Halloween in the Haunted Mansion ride? Because I love the Haunted Mansion. My favorite two things there are now the Star Wars park and the Haunted Mansion ride. But, bring money because you're going to see stuff there you're going to want to buy.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm already budgeting like $1,000 for this because, like, I'm sure between having to eat in the park and, like, souvenirs and shit, I'm going to go to the lightsaber shop and I fucking want Baylan Skor's lightsaber.
I was going to say, if you come home with a lightsaber, I'm going to be both simultaneously incredibly jealous of you and also very happy for you.
I am honestly debating bringing the Graflex.
It's your money. You've never been there before. You don't know if you're going to be there again. This is the one time that if you were to come home with a bunch of Star Wars shit, because I've seen your basement and I'm always I'm always ragging on you, John, you don't need this. You don't need that. Why did you buy this? It's just sitting here.
Oh,
but this
dude.
Is a situation where, you know, you've never been there before. You don't know if you're going to go again. And this is your one shot. So, you know, make it count.
Oh, yeah. Well, but like I said, like the only...
The stuff that I wanted to get, I couldn't get. My wife wouldn't let me. I really wanted to buy a Princess Leia lightsaber. I wanted Space Mom's lightsaber really, really bad.
That's another and one I would think about. But like the two I really want is I really want Baylan Skor's. Like his lightsaber.
Yeah, his is cool.
His was fucking badass. And I love he fought more like a European, like martial style than like a lot more of the Asian style martial arts. Like he looked like a knight and he fought like a knight. So yeah.
And he owned that character. It's going to be really hard because they have approved Ahsoka season 2.
That is honestly the thing that makes me the most just furious about Ahsoka is that he owned that part so well and he's gone and he can't continue it. And it's one of those things that I don't think anybody else will like have the gravitas that he did with that.
You know what though? Here's the thing. Like, because like he died, that wasn't him, Disney firing him.
It's
there's nothing that can be done about that. So they're going to do the best that they can because they all, this like that show, that was a big hit and success on the Disney Star Wars side of things, which they needed. And it was done really well. And that guy, like you said, he owned that role. So, you know, I hope they do. They're going to replace him. They have to because he's too integral to the story. Just hope they do it right and hope they find the right match for it, which is going to be really fucking hard.
Oh, man. It's not a lightsaber. But if they had Morgan Elsbeth's Sith sword, I would buy the shit out of that. Like, I would have that one shipped
home. They may.
Funny
we're talking about
or the Darksaber. Oh fuck, I'd have to buy the Darksaber.
It's there. That is there. That is absolutely there. Yeah, that's absolutely there. You will see that.
Yeah.
The lightsaber stores, like there's so much stuff inside that lightsaber store.
May need to budget slightly more than $1,000.
Well, lightsabers are going to probably run you about 300, 4 maybe. I can't remember.
And God, God knows.
And the blade.
I was going to say, and my friggin' daughter is going to absolutely want like Ahsoka's set and like mooch off me to buy it for her.
You're going to buy her an actual Ahsoka? Or you're going to buy her the cheap Ahsoka ones or the good Ahsoka ones?
Well, that depends on how much I love her.
So when you walk into the movie studios park, you're going to have almost all the Disney parks are kind of designed the same way where you walk in and there's like a strip in front of you. Well, when you walk into movie studio park, there's going to be the buildings that are in front of you to go shopping in. The buildings on the left-hand side, maybe the right, but I know on the left-hand side, at least when I was there a year ago, they've got their little gift shops and stuff in there. They have cheaper lightsabers in there. They're toy lightsabers, but they're a higher quality toy lightsaber. They're not as good a quality as the ones you're going to get in the back at the Star Wars park. But if you're, you know, that if you're not sure, you don't want to spend a lot of money on your kids' lightsabers, you can be like, okay, dad's getting these. You can get one of those.
Yeah.
So you might be able to pull it off. But I don't know which. I know they have the Ahsoka ones. They have cheaper Ahsoka ones. I think they have a cheaper Princess Leia one. And I know they have a cheaper Kylo Ren ones. But nobody's buying the Kylo Ren lightsabers. The lightsaber store it's got more than just lightsabers in it. It's got the ice cream maker, which I sent you a picture of the ice cream
maker
data thing. They've got that. They've got Jedi robes in there. They've got holocrons in there. They've got a thing in there where kids can build their own droid and they put it in a backpack and stuff. And it actually, once they build it, it actually responds. If you want to go super uber dad thing, they've got a thing where kids can go through and learn to be Jedis and build their own lightsaber and attune it and all that kind of stuff. But you can pull it off for a lot cheaper. The only thing that I requested you to that I didn't get the chance to do was try the blue milk. And I don't know why we didn't try it. I didn't know if that was what was in the building or what was in that building, or maybe that particular building was closed at the time. The only thing we didn't go on was the Millennium Falcon ride because it's a motion simulator ride and those things get me really, really sick. But like just going and standing in front of the Millennium Falcon and you're like, oh my God, that's the Millennium Falcon. It's life size. It's there. It's right in front of you. And you're just like,
Cool. Yeah. And they just announced, the dates for Space Dive. So that'll be in May. And I really want to get a costume together for Space Dive.
What's Space Dive?
Space Dive is there's at Tangent Art Gallery. Every year on May the weekend either before or after May the 4th, they make over the art gallery as Mos Eisley's Cantina.
Where
And
at?
I think it's in Detroit,
Okay.
or and like you have to go in costume. Like that's the rule. Like you have to have a Star Wars costume, and like you go there as a character, and
Huh.
like everybody's in a Star Wars character. There's Star Wars themed drinks. There's Star Wars themed entertainment. It's like a big. It's they've been doing it for years. It used to be the same weekend as PenguinCon, so I never was ever able to go. But now it's finally different weekends. So I didn't go last year because they got fi shut down by the fire marshal. But this year, I definitely want to try and go.
Huh. That's cool.
Oh yeah.
All right, so do you want to jump into Dune, or
Oh
how do you
yeah.
want to do this?
So first, let's get something straight. Somebody, so I was watching a TikTok about Dune, and somebody was in the comments complaining about spoilers. This book is 50 years old. Like, there is no, it's the same thing about saying spoilers about The Hobbit. The book is old. It's been out there. If you are that concerned about spoilers, you could have read the fucking book.
Or turn it off. Turn this podcast off right now, because we're probably going to go pretty in depth in
Yeah.
this.
Or you could have watched the David Lynch Dune, or you could have
Yeah.
watched the Sci-Fi Channel Dune, or you could
Which is
listen to
now
an
on YouTube for
audiobook.
free.
You could listen to an audiobook. Like, if you are this concerned about spoilers, sir, you are in the wrong conversation. So
Correct. Correct.
I saw it opening night. I saw it in IMAX at the Southgate Cinema 20. They now have like a designated branded IMAX theater there.
Ooh, I wish I'd have known that. I would have saw it there.
It was painfully loud.
That's where it was when we went and saw it too. That was my one complaint, was how loud it was.
The effect was the same as the seats rumbling when they used to have like the rumblers in the seats, but they're
Yeah.
just fucking doing it with sound. I had a splitting fucking headache when I left there. I as beautiful it was as it was to watch, if I had to do it again, I would probably either bring earphones or just not pay for IMAX and like just do like the epic experience or whatever. Yeah, you
Even Epic was loud, so you probably wouldn't save it. If you'd have gone to the movie theater that I go to, which me and you went and saw Dune the first time, it was just equally as loud there. That was my one complaint. That and the guy that sat behind me with the squeaky seat, who kept like bouncing his leg, going ear, 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 but that's a different thing completely.
Oh yeah. The there's just no other way to say it. It was gobsmackingly beautiful, just like the first one. The design of the aesthetics of the world, the costumes, the little every prop that's in the movie, everything about it is gobsmackingly beautiful and perfect. That being said, I have complaints.
Okay. Throw all your complaints out there. You go first, and then after that, I'll tell you what I think. So go for it.
My complaint is that they basically downplayed how important spice is. First of all, you never see the navigators. So like in the first movie, like you see the emissary and you see the people behind him, but they never specifically say if they're navigators, where in like David Lynch's Dune, we saw like how exactly mutated the navigators were, and like they impressed how important the spice is and all this and that. In the Villanova Dunes, they just say, yeah, spice is important. They don't really say why. They don't really talk about the navigators. They don't talk about the fact that without spice, travel between worlds becomes impossible,
They
and
do, but it's not
it's
heavily
downplayed.
referenced. Yeah.
And so you get to the end of like the end of the movie when it's the fucking Emperor's there and Paul's got him by the short and curlies, and in the novel, He doesn't even deal with the Emperor. He's dealing with the Navigators, and he tells him, look, the Emperor steps down, or I fucking cut off spice to the world. And it wasn't... And then the whole bringing it, like, oh, I'm going to use the atomics on the spice fields instead of I am going to flood Arrakis, make it a paradise, and that will kill the sandworm. They even went so far as to show that putting the sandworm in water drowns them and kills them, but they never mentioned...
I'm going to correct you on one thing. They did do that in the first movie. He specifically tells in the first movie, the David Lynch one, he says, tell your people from space to scan down to the planet, and you will see that we have nukes on top of the spice fields, and we will blow them up and destroy them. He specifically says, we have nukes there. You can scan it from space and find it.
Yeah.
They also, and as well as with you are right. They do not bring the Navigators in. They did it in both the David Lynch one and they did it in the sci-fi remake years later, which is on YouTube right now. They did have Guild Navigators come in. But go ahead.
Yeah, because that was what got the Emperor to acquiesce, was the fact that the whole idea of, like, to truly, the person who can destroy something is the person who truly controls it.
Yes.
Was because the Fremen had the water to just turn Dune back into a paradise, which would have killed all the sandworms, and there is no more spice.
But that still ends up happening eventually.
Well, we don't know, because at the end of this movie, it doesn't happen.
It wasn't supposed to happen. That didn't start to happen until the end of Children of Dune and God Emperor of Dune. Actually, specifically God Emperor of Dune is when it really started to happen. And Children of Dune, they make reference to how parts of the planet that the sandworms don't go to anymore because it's starting to grow green and that there's clouds on the planet. And there hadn't been clouds on planet on Arrakis in anybody's memory because it had been so long since water had been there.
Yeah.
But he didn't say we're going to flood the planet with water. But it did in the David Lynch movie. It started raining, and I don't remember if it did that in the book or not.
No, not in the book. It didn't start raining. It was just that they said, look, we know how to kill the sandworms, and we have the tools to do it. And if we kill all the sandworms, there is no spice. The universe stops. And it was the Navigators that told the Emperor, yeah, you're going to do what he says because we're more powerful than you.
Yeah, in the movie, they just step away from the Emperor and step over next to Paul.
That's right.
That was the way it was in the David Lynch one. He does this weird, like, snake shimmy thing, and he goes over and stands next to Paul.
Yeah, and then...
Everybody's like, all right.
Yeah, and in both the David Lynch and the Sci-Fi Channel one, and in the book, when he's fighting Fade Rautha, Faye has him, like, cornered, has got his little belly stabber knife and is like, I am going to put my blade in you. And then when I sit down, the poison will finish you off. And then Paul looks at him and is like, basically tells him, oh, by the way, I'm your cousin. And that's what falters him and allows Paul to kill him. Mm-hmm. Wherein in this one, just before they're even fighting, he's like, sup, cousin. And
that bothered you?
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, that was your secret move. You gave away your secret move.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. But go ahead.
The fact that Leia wasn't even born in this version of it. So
that I think I know why they did, but go ahead.
So they had to rewrite Leia killing Baron Harkonnen with poison, and then now it's just Paul stabs him.
That was weird, but again, I think I know why they did it, and... Well, I'll go into that. So whatever else you got, what else you got?
I mean, that's kind of the big ones. Okay. I think they made it a conscious choice to make the movie more about the Fremen and their, like, trying to find independence than about controlling the most powerful resource in the universe. And the Fremen are just basically a like fringe benefit of being controlling the most powerful resource in the universe.
All right. Well, here's my take on it.
Okay.
I absolutely love the movie. I really don't have any complaints about it. There's a couple of minor things, but nothing that broke the movie. Go ahead.
One more thing. Thuthwir Haleth just disappears.
Yeah.
Like he,
yeah,
like he's very, like he has one scene, he has one like one or two scenes in the first movie, and then he just disappears, and yeah. he has an integral part, like the whole thing of what happens in the arena with Fade Rautha and the Baron, like in the books that happens because Thuthweir Halleth made it, like he was the one who set that up, and now it's just like oh no he just stopped existing.
Yeah, that was a little weird, but I didn't dwell on it very much. So here's it was a fantastic movie. It's beautiful. Everything that everybody says about it is true. I really love Danae movies. Villeneuve, I pronounce his last name, or I'll mess it up. Very few of his movies have I seen yet that I didn't like. But here's the thing, Dune. And me and you know this, and all of the people that have read it and the Dune enthusiasts and stuff know this, and this is something that we have to kind of put aside. For Dune to work, Dune is an incredibly complicated, very dense, thick book and story in a whole. It's like an H.P. Lovecraft book. You've got words like Kwisatz Haderach. You know, you've got.
I had tried reading Dune many times from like high school when I first kind of, like, all my friends were talking about how cool it was, and I could never read it. And it wasn't until much later that I listened to the audiobook that I was able to make it through, because it is way easier to have somebody read made up space language than me trying to figure it out.
Exactly. But the thing is, with space language is a great term. We will use that. The thing is, with space language, there is a lot of space language in Dune. I remember when I went and saw the original Dune at the movie theater, on the way in, they handed you a pamphlet, which is like an appendix and an encyclopedia explaining what all the terms were. And most people, when you go to a movie, you don't want to sit and look at, you know, what does this word mean? What does that word mean? So anyhow, Dune is an incredibly dense and thick movie, and it's not really consumable for the average person moviegoer. The average moviegoer wants to go see a really good movie, something they can identify with very quickly, and something that, you know, for them is good or whatever. So with Dune, what they had to do is they had to make a really good movie. Like these movies had to be good to be able to, like the first one had to be good. It had to be good enough to warrant having a sequel, because these movies were probably really, really fucking expensive to make.
Oh, yeah.
The budget on these things had to be massive, so they had to make them work. And Danae is really good at pulling, like, he did the same thing with Blade Runner 2049. I went to that movie not wanting to like it, not expecting, because Blade Runner is sacred to me. It's just, this movie didn't need to be messed with. Leave it alone. It's like, you don't want to remake, you don't want to go back and remake The Godfather, though I'm sure there's, Hollywood probably would.
I was going to say, it. Nobody's remade Citizen Kane.
Yeah, you don't. This is one of those movies that, in my opinion, didn't need to be remade. But that's Blade Runner 2049, and he pulled it off really, really well. So what Danae does really good is takes a story and says, "All right, we can't put all of this out there because it's too dense. This is why the first Dune movie. I don't want to say it failed, but it's known for its weird, quirky, just strange bizarreness. People look and go, oh yeah, Dune, that was a weird movie. Because when you go back and rewatch it, I rewatched it last week.
Oh my
God. I actually want to watch both of them.
We were talking about Dune at work, and one of the other guys, who's a new guy at the store, was like, oh man, I watched this documentary, and it was talking about, like, that there was supposed to be this first Dune movie, and I was like, the Jodorowsky movie.
Yeah, the Jodorowsky documentary. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, and then we started talking about that, and it's a cultural touch point. There's a lot of people know the story.
Exactly, but the average
moviegoer, like, does not.
My wife has no idea about Dune, so. You know, she liked the first movie, then we rewatched it again because we were getting ready to go see it. I went a step further and rewatched the original and the Sci-Fi Channel. And then last week, I watched part of the Children of Dune movie. I didn't finish the last one because it was done in like three two-hour episodes or something. But anyways, so they have to take this movie and they have to condense it and boil it down and keep the heart of the story. One of the problems with Dune is Dune is telling many stories. One part of the story is it's meant to reflect war, that was the war in Afghanistan that was taking place. It's also meant to talk about religion, false prophets, gods. It's also supposed to be a reflection of Arabs, the oil struggle. There's a lot of different things that this movie is trying to portray. To try to cram all that into one movie, plus to try to cram all of the characters in, plus to try to cram all of the terms, it's a whole lot of stuff to try to put into a movie to make it work. So they had to make sacrifices where they had to make them. I was fine with that as long as it still told a good story. Like, they can't, I don't think that they put the navigators in it because that would have taken up more time. They would have had to have shown the navigators, explained what they were. That would have taken more time away from the movie, which would have taken more time away from the core story that they were trying to tell. They did mention the navigators. They did say, hey, this is, you know, a spice extends life. They did say it does all of these different things, but okay, we get it. Spice is important. Now what? Okay, Paul is of a duke who was killed, sent to this planet. His family was sent there. There's still a lot going on in these movies, so they can't put everything into these movies. So I get why they didn't put the Guild Navigators in there. And the way that the movie ended, because how it ended is very different from the way the last two movies ended. The way that this movie ended was all of the houses all have their spaceships above the planet right now, and they are rejecting your rule. And he said, he looked at the leader of the Fremen, he said, take the ships, lead them off to paradise, which meant take them off, go to war, go all across the galaxy. So I think in the next movie, because they're going to make another one, because this one has done so fantastically well, they're going to do it.
Well, so, and it's, I don't know. So I'm trying to remember. So I think next is Dune Messiah. And then the book after that is Children of Dune.
And he said he's only going to do Dune Messiah. And then after that, he's going to hand it over to somebody else to do Children of Dune.
Yeah.
So what probably is going to happen is I think the next movie will probably open up, because Dune Messiah, of the books, that's probably one of the most boring ones. There's not any big, huge epic battles in it. It's mostly intrigue. It's mostly the Bene Gesserit, which is another thing that, you know, they brought the Bene Gesserit up. They didn't go into a huge amount of explaining what they do or that they have plans within plans and that this stuff is, but they explain it, but they do it very quickly in a way that people who don't know anything about it can see it and go, okay, get it, religious order. These are people that are pulling the strings. So I have a feeling when the next movie starts up, it's probably going to be this big epic space battle and Paul establishing that he is the emperor. And then I assume it will probably flash forward a little bit. And another thing that you said about her not being born yet, well, they did bring her in the movie, but Paul was able, because they're both genetically shared and because she was in the womb and fully conscious as a baby, well, they make reference in the movie that the daughter is continuously talking to the mom because she keeps saying, your sister says you're lying. And he's like, well, right. How's she doing? She says she's worried about you. They're already in communication as though she's already a person. And then when he has the vision, he sees her standing on top of the hill because that's, she's going to be in the next movie. At that point, I think they'll have like a big space battle. Paul will establish his dominance as the emperor. They will show the Fremen going out across the galaxy and doing the Holy War. Then I assume that it will probably do some kind of a time jump. It'll say like 10 years later or 5 years later, however many years later it is at that point, because Paul will have been an emperor at that point. And that whole book is about how Paul is a horrible emperor and he does a shitty job and he just goes off into the desert or whatever.
Yeah, and so, then Leto's born and all
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that the Guild Navigators will show up in the third. That's another thing. Every one of these movies has been very careful. In the first movie, there was no talk of the Emperor. And in the original movie and in the book, the Emperor was brought in much sooner. There was a party that Paul went to and he actually met the princess. They had kind of had a little bit of a history, mm-hmm. which the Sci-Fi Channel did that party. They actually showed those two meeting to establish that character. But in the first Dune movie, it was all about Paul, his dad dying, him escaping the palace, him finding the Fremen. The second movie was about him becoming one of the Fremen, becoming the leader, you know, propagating the myth of him being the Kwisatz Haderach or the Supreme Being, which they really didn't make that many references to the Kwisatz Haderach in this. They said it a couple of times and that was it. They let it go.
So they they did and they didn't. They didn't use Kwisatz Haderach, but they did use Lisan El Gaib, which is the Fremen word for the Kwisatz Haderach.
Again, another incredibly complicated
there
word.
There is a whole internet meme culture of Stilgar, and like it's like she shows a picture of me changing my parents' TV from HDMI 1 to HDMI 2, and then in the bottom image is Stilgar, Lisan El Gaib.
So the first movie establishes Paul's family is getting killed off. Paul has to flee, but it also establishes indirectly how important spice is, because they're like, well, this is the equipment they've left us with, and we have to get all of the spice and blah, blah, blah. And they're fighting over this planet for the spice, which tells you spice is important. But the way that they laid it out, it's kind of like, well, the universe has to have this. It's like oil, or however you want to interpret it. So the second movie, they didn't have to establish incredibly as much how important spice was. They did that in the first movie. This movie was more about the religion and about how they played that whole religious angle that the Bene Gesserit had set up. They had planted that religion there.
What I wish they would have done a better job of is, after reading the books, in the book they talk about how the whole reason that essentially Leto wanted to go to Dune or wanted to go to Arrakis was because he wanted to recruit the Fremen, because he wanted to challenge the Emperor or balance out the Emperor. The reason the Emperor controlled the universe was because he had the Saldakar, and they were more powerful than all the other houses fighting forces, and they essentially established his rule. And the reason that the Emperor was going to kill Leto was because he was going to challenge the Emperor. The Emperor knew it, and then this was his way to wipe him off the board. And I feel like that's kind of lost. It's like,
well, they did bring it up in this movie, and they did bring it up in the last movie a little bit, because in the last movie, the Baron Harkonnen says the Emperor is a very jealous man. And he's a very insecure man. And then when the movie opened up this time, they made it a point to talk about how the Emperor, because it does say in the books the Emperor did love Leto, but he was becoming insecure and jealous about it. And they brought up in this movie how pained he was to actually have to go and kill Leto and the Atreides families off.
Yeah.
At the beginning of it. So, but anyhow, my point is this movie is 2 hours and 48 minutes long. It's a long fucking movie. It's probably one of the longest movies I've gone to a movie theater and seen in quite some time.
I'm kind of jaded because most of like the Marvel movies, and especially after Lord of the Rings, like a lot of the big epic movies are pushing towards 3 hours. So, I mean, that's nothing.
But how much longer? See, by including all of this stuff, and they had to change the pacing of it to make a cohesive story all the way through. Each movie tells a different story within the story. So I understood why they made the decisions that they made. It was a little weird having Paul kill off the Baron Harkonnen and stab him in the neck, but
I will stab you in the neck with a knife.
But here's the thing though. If you're not a Dune reader, this movie wasn't made for us. This movie was made to try to accommodate
this
as many
movie
people as possible.
Was made to make money, as all movies are.
Correct, but it's also tried and made to appeal to make as good a story as possible to appeal to people who aren't us. So I have to keep that in mind when I went and saw it. I'm like, okay, but the thing that I really admire is that even though these decisions were different, it was still a good story. It still told the story. It still told the story in a cohesive, flowing
oh,
matter.
Yeah, yeah.
The only people that are really going to have a problem with it are people like us that know the actual story.
And none of this makes me say it's a bad movie. It's just I'm a little disappointed, and that's okay. Like
I'll take the loss.
Yeah. like the whole scene on, I forget what the Harkonnen's homeworld is, but like
Gedi Prime.
Yeah, the Gedi Prime. The scene in the arena. They filmed that in infrared to get that like pure black and white starkness.
Do you know why they did that? I can tell you.
Well, because I believe in canon, Deity Prime has like either a red dwarf or
it's a black sun.
Yeah, it's a black. It's basically the star is dying, so it's shifting out ultraviolet light.
Correct. Which is why when they were indoors, they had color. But as soon as they go outside to the arena, everything goes to that very vivid, because they filmed it in infrared and then they went back and retouched it again to make the black and white pop in an unnatural way, which is pretty fucking genius. When I saw it, I was like, I didn't really catch it until I'm like, oh, they're outside now. Why is it? And then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, it's got a black sun. But the thing is that only geeks like us would know that. Everybody else is going to go see it and go, wow, this is cinema. This is, you know, it was an interesting touch. I liked it.
Well, and it was beautiful. And there's something I've noticed in movies, a trend that's been happening. And it's something I had kind of like had been formulating in my mind. And then I saw a TikTok and it was like, oh, that's it. In a lot of these movies, specifically fantasy kind of movies, like you will notice they're a lot more washed out. Like the colors seem paler and they're not as bright. Like everything seems kind of like a subdued pastel. And there aren't a lot of like really dark tones. And what that comes from is so much of these movies are shot in like CGI sound stages that in order to be able to get the like chroma key effects, they have to crank the lighting so high that like it just washes out all the colors. And they were specifically, it was in the trailer for Wicked. And they were comparing that to like the shooting for Oz the Great and Powerful and like the color palettes they were used. And you notice that for the movie Wicked, everything's really muted colors. And I think this movie went as far away from that as possible.
And it's pretty cool that they did, because really, what are you working with? Most of the movie takes place on brown sand.
Yeah. You know? Like everything is earth tone and desert. But then I looked at like the trailer for the new Furiosa movie, and it looks different than the original Mad Max film or the original Mad Max Fury Road. And I'm thinking that like, it looks like there's going to be a lot more CGI in this one than there was in Fury Road, which makes me sad, because what made Fury Road amazing was that everything was done with practical effects.
Yeah.
And I think for this movie, they're going to go a lot heavier on CGI, which makes me sad.
Let me backtrack a little bit to the Dune thing, because you have a habit of whenever I start talking about something, you will completely sidetrack me and take me to 9 million different directions.
That's okay.
So, okay, going back to the thing about how we were talking about princess or daughter not being born yet. So, here's the problem with why they probably couldn't have that in the movie, because if they had, you would have had to have taken time to show Jessica giving birth. That would have taken more time away and would have added more time to the movie. Or 2 hours and 48 minutes, you really have to start figuring out how can we continue the story without having to do all this stuff in it. So the easy way that they could do that, and what's also is from the book as well, they were in communication in the book, I believe, is to just do it the way that they did and just have Paul have a future vision of her being grown up and seeing her talking in the desert or whatever. Then they don't have to go through, okay, now we got to show her having the baby. The baby's got to be in the background. There was other stuff that all three movies have completely cut out of the book, which is, in my opinion, one of the most important parts of the book that got left out. But they did it cleverly, and you wouldn't have noticed. In the original Dune book, Paul and Chaney had sons.
They did. They did.
And the Harkonnens raided them and killed both of his sons.
Yeah, the reason... So Chaney and their kids... Their kids were at one of the Siaches, and when Paul rides the sandworm, or finally learns how to like ride the sandworm, he gets to choose where they go. So they go south to visit his children, essentially. And then where in the Villanova movies, Harkonnen come and they blow up Siege Tabor. Instead, that was when in the books that they killed his two children, his two infants. And then his next son was Leto the Second, and he becomes the God Emperor.
Correct. Them killing his sons off gave him another reason to hate them even more, because they took his dad. They also took his kids. Yeah. And that, and the point in the book is where he snaps and says, no, now the game is on. Now we're going to fuck these people up. Because that was the point where he said, no, I'm going to do this. That was what triggered him to do it. But they've edited that out on both of the movies. There was something else that they edited out too, but I can't remember what it was now. And it's going to bug the hell out of me. But anyhow, they, you know, all the Dune incarnations have edited stuff out or added stuff in or done whatever. And in every instance that I've seen up until these series of movies, when I watched the original Dune and the Sci-Fi Channel's movie of Dune, it just gets bogged down and watered down after a little while. You can't include everything because it's just too much. So the real skill in making these movies comes down to, what do we take out? What do we leave in? And how do we make this work together as cohesive movies to where people are going to be able to watch it, understand what's going on, and still enjoy it.
Right.
So most of the heavy thinking stuff, you know, some of it you have to have in there. You have to have the Bene Gesserit. You have to have, there's just certain parts of it that you have to have that are so crucial. So they sat down and said, well, what do we have to keep in this movie to make this movie work? And on the whole, I think they did a really good job, because even though these parts are missing from the movies and it bugs us, I would rather those parts not be in the movie, make a good movie, and then be able to have another movie. Because if this one had failed, there will be no Dune Messiah. That's the one where I'm like, how are you guys going to do this? Because of the books, that was one of the most boring ones. There's no space battles. There's no epic battles. There's nothing like that. It's all intrigue and this person's trying to poison this person. And
I was
going to
say,
spies.
And that's why with the Sci-Fi Channel, they essentially just skipped Dune Messiah and told
they wrapped it in the Children of Dune.
Yeah, it's, and I think that's what may end up happening with the next Dune movie, is it may be parts of Dune Messiah, parts of Children of Dune.
I think it'll end with both of the kids being born to open the doorway for the next movie to be made. And that's kind of why they ended it the way this one did, because it's like, all right, well, because they literally end it with them saying all of the great houses are up in space and they're all rejecting your rule. And he says, all right, go to paradise, go to war. And they end it right there. So you don't know, you know, what happens next. Whereas in the other Dune movies ends and you know, at the end of the movie, yes, Paul is the emperor. And that's kind of it. Whereas this time around, you know, he's the emperor, but the rest of the galaxy isn't accepting him. And this is where he goes out and says, okay, I'm going to slaughter all these people and fuck all these people up. And then he loses control of it. So that will be probably what the next movie is him losing control of it. Because that's when he goes blind. They set off the stone burner, which is basically a nuke. So my problem with the movie, one of the problems that I have with the movie is they go into the cave where all of the atomics are at.
Right.
They don't do a good job of really, it's like, all right, so you left Iraq. You came to Arrakis from Caladan. I'm probably getting that name wrong. I should know.
No, yeah, actually, no, you got it right. Caladan.
So they come to Arrakis from Caladan, and they bring the nukes with them, and they put them in this cave, which is out in the, which was kind of funny. He says, that's a dumb place to hide it. And he looks at him and goes, did you look for it there? And he goes, no. He goes, we wouldn't have looked. And he goes, that's why we put it there.
Right.
So they bring all, knowing when they go to Arrakis that shit's probably going to go down, knowing that this is probably a trap, let's take our supply of nukes with us to Arrakis, and maybe the Harkonnens won't discover them. But another thing that bothered me with the old Dune stories and the old Dune movies is they never explained where the atomics came from. Paul just says, we're going to blow out that wall right there and we're going to use atomics. It's like, wait a minute. You guys have got atomic weapons all this time and you're fighting the Harkonnens all of this time and you never once used atomics. There's actually a reason for that in the story, which they didn't explain in the movie. In the Dune books, because of the machine wars, Earth was destroyed by the great machine wars. Earth was completely nuked and destroyed. So all of the great houses said, if anybody uses nukes, whoever uses nuclear weapons, we will annihilate your planet. That's how powerful nukes were, and they were not allowed to use them. So that was the one thing that saved them in Dune when Paul used the nukes. They weren't going to nuke Arrakis because it's too valuable. They're not going to nuke Arrakis because they're going to destroy the spice.
And in the books, they didn't use atomics in the battle. They fired a laser at a shield generator, which produced the same thing. And they're like, oh, you used atomics. He's like, nah, I didn't.
See, I don't remember if that was that way or not, but it doesn't matter to me. It's not that important. But it's like, all right, so now you've got this cave out in the middle of nowhere, which only Paul's genetic code can open. And they're like, yep, here it is, the entire stockpile of House Atreides nuclear weapons. And it's like, well, that's kind of a convenient plot thing to throw in there to make it work. But all right, whatever. You know,
yeah.
I understand why you did. I'm like, why would you bring your nuclear arsenal to a planet that you know that shit's going to go down and you're probably going to die and things are probably going to go bad? Let's bring our atomic weapons here. But by the same token, you can't leave them behind because if the planet gets raided and those atomics get taken, I don't know. It was just a weird thing for me.
They were Chekhov's atomics. If you see an atomic in the first act, the atomic must go off by the third act.
But the thing is, they never referenced atomics at any point up until that scene where Gurney's like, oh yeah, I know where the atomics are hidden. And he goes, we got atomic weapons here. But up in the Dune, and nowhere, which I guess, again, it goes back to my logic earlier, where if you throw too much in at one time, it convolutes the story, it dilutes it, and it makes the movie longer, and it just adds more shit for people to have to try to figure out. But I was like, okay, so I guess there's atomics there. I guess, okay, they got them, blah, blah, blah. And they got away with it because they didn't use them on humans. They used them to blow the wall away so they could get the sandworms in or whatever. All right, whatever. That was the one thing. The thing with the with the daughter not killing the Baron Harkonnen, that was a little off-putting. But again, I understood why they do it, and I'll eat that bullet or whatever you want to call it. I'll be like, all right, I'll put that aside for the good of the whole of the movie. The way I looked at it was there were parts of this movie that I didn't like, little things here and there, but when you balance it out with the contrast, it's like, why did they do this? I think I know why they did this. On the whole, it's still a really good movie, and I really don't have any complaints. And I can't wait till the guy does Rendezvous with Rama, because that's his next one on his target, radar, that he's really looking at doing.
Now, here's another thing. I was a little disappointed in how they used Christopher Walken as the Emperor. Like he literally spends.
I kind of was too.
Yeah, like he spends the movie like basically as a senile old man in his bathrobe, like the Emperor in the Lynch Dune. Like he's got his regal uniform and he's making moves and all that, and like it's Christopher Walken. You want to see him chew up the scenery, and he's literally like a senile old man in the movie. Kind of, it's a little sad.
Well. He does play the part very well that he plays, but remember in the next movie, he dies. He just dies of old age.
Right.
So, cause that's when the daughter, see, that was another thing that they left out of this movie that I wish they'd have put in the last Dune movies. Chaney looks over at the way that they ended. This was kind of weird, where in the other Dune movies, he only takes her as a wife for the throne of it, but he never touches her. He never has sex with her. He never has a kid with her. And Chaney looks at her and says, looks at the princess and says, it's not the princesses and stuff that run the universe. It is the concubines. And that is, you know, you may be the queen, but you're not going to be his wife. Whereas in this movie, he just says, I'm going to marry your daughter. And that's how I'm going to become emperor. And then Chaney's like, what the fuck? And she just takes off on a sandworm.
The fuck you are, bitch.
Yeah. So, and then he tells her, because in the book, he's like, listen, I'm going to take her as a wife, but she's never going to be my wife. You are my love. I will never touch her. I will never have children with her.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Leto is Chaney's.
Yeah, both the daughter, the brother and sister are both Chaney's children. And that's what happens with Dune Messiah is throughout the whole movie, they're giving her a poison so she can't get pregnant and she's slowly dying. And when she does have a child, the children are what kill Chaney. But the princess, there's like this big thing because the princess is working with the Bene Gesserit because she is Bene Gesserit and she's working with them and everything. And at the end of the movie, she finally realizes, oh shit, I'm the bad guy here. So she vows to take care of the children and raise them as though they are her children because mom's dead. You know, Paul goes out into the desert because he's blind. Well, he's not blind, but by Fremen law, he can still see because of his powers. But by Fremen law, he has to get cast out in the desert. He's like, I'm done. I'm a shitty emperor. I can't do this anymore. I've lost my wife. The universe is falling apart. I can't keep control of my people. I'm leaving. So the princess raises his two kids to be his daughters. So what I'm wondering in the next movie, that's one of the because the book again is so boring, they have to leave stuff in there for them to work with in the next movie. So that's going to be one of them where Paul's going to have to go chase Chaney down and be like, listen, I love you, I'm never going to touch her, you know, and that's where all that other intrigue and stuff is going to start to take place. So I think they did it that way to leave more meat on the bone for them to work with in the next movie, to have more material to work with. So that's my opinion. That's what I think they're going to do. On the whole, I didn't like some of the changes, but I understood why they had to make those sacrifices and do what they had to do to make the movie the way that they did. Otherwise, it would have just been the same thing that we've already seen two times and read the books over and over again. The choices that they made were smart choices that they did what they had to do to make the movie. I hope I'm making sense.
No, you are.
So that's my opinion. That's what I think. I get where you're coming from, but I understand why they did what they did.
So now here's another topic of conversation is like, we are this year, the only Marvel movie will be Deadpool.
As it should be.
But that leaves, what else are we looking forward to? I mean, like, I'm cool for Ghostbusters coming out. But other than that, like, I can't think of anything that I'm like super excited about that's coming out this year.
Well, let's see here. Disney Plus wise, I've got some shows coming on there.
I'm not talking about Disney Plus.
Like, talking about cinema?
Yeah. Movies? Like, I went to the movies to see this, and the most exciting thing coming to theaters that I saw there that I want to see is fucking the Cinema Rewind. They're showing the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition, they're showing Goonies, and they're showing The Mask. As like, I will go see all of those movies. But like, yeah, the only new movie coming out that seemed kind of interesting is Ghostbusters.
There were movies coming out, but I can't remember what they were. This is why I think this is a good thing, though. Deadpool coming out, number one, we need less Marvel. We need Marvel to get their act together. Well, there's Kraven the Kraven the Hunter movie coming out, which I don't think anybody cares about, especially after
because Man it's not Marvel. It's
exactly.
Sony.
That's I think so, Sony's fucked. Sony's done.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know what it will take for Sony to realize nobody cares about movies about Spider-Man characters when Spider-Man's not in the movie.
This might do it because Madame Web cost a pretty good chunk of money to make. So this may finally get something through. Like the last that I read, they were talking about how they're very nervous about the Kraven movie, and there's some other was it Venom 3? Yeah, Venom 3 is coming out as well, and that one's supposed to have Spider-Man in it, but they haven't talked at all about Tom Holland or any of the Spider-Man being in the movie. All we know is that there's supposed to be some kind of Spider-Man in the movie finally. But anyhow, for the longest time, all we've had for years is either been Star Wars movies or superhero movies. Most of them, Marvel and Disney, have dominated the box office with everything. And no other movie studio or anything out there has even had a chance, because they know if they release their movie outside of Barbie and Oppenheimer, everything just kind of gets glossed over and pushed aside. And you're also still dealing with a movie industry that's still kind of recovering from COVID. Like this Dune movie, it did a lot for movies. It got people back into the movie theaters again, like people wanting to go and see a movie on the big screen, and because it's beautiful and because it tells a good story and, you know, it's something worth going and seeing. But now that only Deadpool is coming out, this leaves room for other movies and other things to finally start flexing their arms. And, you know, we actually have a chance of seeing other movies out there. I really don't know what's coming, but I'm glad that it is, because you have stagnation. You know, it's not, there was a thing I was watching earlier today that Marvel for the longest time was like, no, we're oversaturating the market with superhero movies and people are getting superhero movie fatigue. And all of us are like, it's not superhero fatigue. We're tired of bad movie fatigue. I want more superhero movies. I want more Star Wars movies. I want more Star Trek movies. And most other people do as well in our culture. But we want something good. So instead of just cranking these movies out, a la the Sony format and Marvel, which Marvel, I really do think they finally learned their lesson. They're finally getting their act together and they will eventually get it right. But it just drowned the movie industry out. It killed everything. So if you weren't making a superhero movie, or even if you were making a movie, no one wanted to release a movie opposite of a Star Wars or a Marvel superhero movie, because there's only so much money out there. There's so much time for people to go see movies with. With Deadpool being the only movie coming out, hopefully it'll open up the market and we'll be able to see other things. You know, well, there's the Alien movie coming out. I can't remember what that's called. That's another thing.
There's no Alien movie coming out.
There isn't an Alien movie coming out? I thought there was.
There's an Alien TV series on Amazon Prime.
Okay. But it just, Disney more or less sucked all the air out of the room for the entire industry. So, and plus all the actors, if you were an A-list actor, Marvel was trying to scoop you up and put you in a movie. You know? So it sucked up all the actors. It sucked up all the money. It sucked up all of the ability for people to put movies on a screen. So I'm kind of glad that it's taking a step back. But then again, you know how I am with movies anyways, through Cinema Labad and all this stuff. I appreciate good cinema or just interesting cinema. And there was none out there for a long time. And people just more or less stopped making movies. You know,
well, and that's the other thing is the reason it became like basically superhero movies and all that was because superhero movies made the money, and making a movie became such an expensive proposition that they only wanted to make movies if they were going to be billion-dollar blockbusters.
Correct. So if somebody made a movie and nobody went to see it, they're fucked.
Yeah. So like the era of the rom-com is over. The era of, like, we're still getting like the artsy Oscar movies, because that's basically what Oppenheimer was.
Yeah.
But those don't make the money. Like, those are just there for the prestige.
Well, Oppenheimer and Barbie both made a lot of money. Because, again, they were good stories.
Oh, man. And the fact that Barbie got snubbed with the Oscars is just people finally realizing what a just garbage organization the Academy of Motion Picture Sciences is. It is mm-hmm. literally just a bunch of rich white dudes circle jerking themselves that they are the be all and end all authority of what is cinema. And people are just now starting to be like, this is unfair. It's like, okay, you think this is unfair? Look at every black actor who's won an Academy Award and the roles they won those Academy Awards for. It's like, you can only win an Academy Award for acting as an African-American actor as long as you're playing a servant, a slave, a criminal, or something like that.
Here's another thing, though. I've noticed that ever since, even more so since the pandemic, a lot of movie studios aren't even trying to go to the big screen anymore. A lot of studios, like you have A24, which is one of my favorite movie production companies out there, or distributors out there. A lot of these people are just going right to streaming services with their movies.
Yeah.
Which, of course, has made the cost, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're paying more for streaming services and stuff. But a lot of these companies are like, well, we can't release this on the big screen because Marvel or such and such is going on. Fuck it. Let's put it on Netflix or like Apple TV. Apple TV, even though I don't have a subscription to it, they make really good sci-fi shows.
Oh, my God. I need to sit down and watch For All Mankind. Like, I love the premise of it. It's just I don't have an Apple TV account, so I've got to pay the iron price to get it.
There's alternative ways.
Yeah. But, like, my biggest thing has been several years ago, Apple TV acquired the rights to Neuromancer, and they've said they were going to do something with it, but they've kind of been sitting on it. And then I've noticed just recently in the last 2 months, a couple of articles like resurfacing about like the fact that Apple has Neuromancer and they have the options for it. And supposedly they're moving forward with the project, but they've been sitting on it for a while. So I'm skeptical.
They might do it. And if they did, like, because everything that I've seen from Apple TV, like Constellation's a really cool show. The Foundation series is really good, but it's really dense. It's really hard sci-fi, and it might be hard for a lot of people to watch. There was a Tom Hanks sci-fi oriented show that was on Apple TV. So I will say this for Apple, though I do not like Apple products. When they do their shows and their movies, they really put their all into their product. They have a very niche way of of doing what they do. Whereas like, then you got A24, which is a lot of that stuff is going to either Amazon or Netflix. You've had a few of them, like last year, I think A24 released, what was it called? It was a movie about, the dinner or the cook. I can't remember what the hell it was called. The Menu. That's what it was. There are these films that are out there, but people just don't notice them because the bigger companies suck all the air out of the room. So a lot of these companies are just going to streaming services now, and streaming services have become the new alternate place to go to for consumption of different kind of, if it's not a superhero movie, you go to a streaming service to look for your cool movies. That's good and bad in a certain way. I don't mind it because I don't like going to the movie theater. Like when I went and saw Dune, like I said, that guy was behind me squeaking his chair. You've got a guy sitting next to you, like gobbling popcorn when you're trying to watch a movie, or, you know,
had one bad experience at a movie theater recently, and it was when we went to see the D&D movie, and there was some guy just fucking would not shut up like three rows back.
Yeah.
Like every time somebody
like that,
like they're so every time they're fighting and somebody misses, he's like, "Oh, that guy rolled a fumble," and I'm like, "I'm pretty sure I could have got a justifiable homicide for that guy."
Yeah, I probably would have went back and said, "Hey, shut up."
Yeah,
you know, we're watching. Like, this.
Look, we're nerds. We've been waiting for a good D&D movie for a long time, but shut the fuck up.
Yeah, normally when we go to the movies, like if I can talk English, we try to go during the matinee when like nobody's there. When we went and saw the first Ghostbusters movie, when we went really early, and there was like four or five other people in the movie theater with us, and everybody was spread out around the movie theater.
Oh God, yeah, I love going during the week when school's in session, and I can just go like on a morning show and see it, and like there's no kids there. Oh,
exactly.
So good.
Exactly. So. I mean, in my opinion, one Marvel movie coming out this year, good. A, because it's not going to consume the industry. It'll give the industry a chance to grow again. B, they'll take their time on their movies now. And they've stated this repeatedly. They've made it very well known. Hey, we're sorry. We're going to try to do better. We're going to get rid of projects that people don't want. They've went back and refilmed a bunch of their movies, like the next Captain America movie. They've went back and basically refilmed the whole movie, the Daredevil show, which even though that's not in the movies, they've gone back and scrapped everything that they filmed, and they've started from scratch and refilmed everything, saying, okay, we heard you, we know what you want, we're going to give that to you. Great, do it. So we'll see. I mean, maybe now when something comes out, we'll go, hey, that looks like a cool movie. Maybe we can go see that. There's not a new Marvel movie coming out. Let's go see that. There's not a new Star Wars movie coming out. This looks interesting. Because
yeah.
I miss going and seeing different movies and stuff. Superhero fatigue was part of it, but it was like, is there something else out here, you know? Can we not have a Justice League movie coming out that sucks or something, or Aquaman or whatever, you know? So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in the coming year with these movies. And you're right. Maybe there's not a lot coming out, and maybe that's what Hollywood needs right now. You would have think that they would have gotten their shit together with the pandemic, but that was different because movies had to be stopped. They were in the middle of production on them and things like that. They didn't really have time. They had to finish off those movies when things opened back up again. You also had the Actors Screen Guild strike. That put a big crimp on everything.
And the writer's strike.
The writer's strike. That's what I was trying to say. So that put a big crimp on everything. So maybe now, you know, things will start to change. They'll have had a chance to sit back and recalibrate and figure out what the hell they're going to do and try to save it. But as we just said, if cinema ends up dying, then I'm kind of okay with it right now. I don't know how else to say it.
I don't know. I will always enjoy going to the movies. Like I will always, and that's just, I guess, the way I grew up is I still have so many fond memories of going to movies and seeing them as well.
So do I, but I want to see something good. You know, I don't want to go in and drop like for, it was like almost $25 or something for us to go to see Dune. And it's like, I paid $25 for this. You know, I could have sat at home and watched it with, you know, eating Chinese food on a TV screen for the cost of Netflix or something, you know?
Well, I remember what happened when we went and saw Dune for the first time. I watched it at home on my TV set before I went to the theater. And you were so pissed off at me.
Oh, I was extremely pissed. I was real pissed.
But
I was like, we were supposed to go see this together, and you didn't, and fuck you.
But it was, I enjoyed the experience of being able to watch that movie at my house with the subtitles on. So, because with all those movies, they deliver those lines so quietly to like emphasize shit, and you're like, what the fuck did he just say? And with the closed caption, I enjoyed that. And then when I went to the movies, I didn't have to focus on what was being said. I could focus on watching the movie and enjoying the movie.
Okay, I can respect that. Plus, seeing it on the big screen is a lot different than seeing it. Because when my wife watched Dune, she watched it here at our house with our big screen television. Excuse me, our big screen television. But it's just not the same as going and seeing it in the movie.
Yeah.
And the only regret that I have is that I didn't find a place to go see it on IMAX, because I would have loved to have seen that movie on the largest, giantest screen most possible that I could have been in front of. It would have been awesome. But, if I knew that they had a actual real IMAX screen there, like if they were showing it at Henry Ford with their giant IMAX screen, I would have loved to have saw it there. That would have been amazing seeing it there. But yeah, I still like going to see movies in movie theaters and stuff too, but it's got to be something like Dune, where it's a really good movie. It's got to look good. It's got to have a good story, and it's got to be something I'm going to enjoy sitting there and getting my value and my money's worth and make the experience of going and seeing it worth it. Ghostbusters was a good movie to go see in the movie theater. It was a good story. It was told well. I didn't have any problem with that.
Yeah,
I'm
I'm
just
definitely
tired of.
going. Yeah, I was gonna say, I think Ghostbusters comes out the weekend I'm in Chicago for Adepticon, but yeah, like when I get back, I definitely plan to go see it.
We're gonna go see that. That's probably. Does that come out before Deadpool? I think it does.
Oh yeah, Deadpool doesn't
Yeah.
come out till April, and then Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire is the 22nd of March.
Yeah, we'll probably go see it. I'm sure we will. The previews for it look really good, and they're still following the same formula. It appears that there's the new cast of characters, but you have the old ones in the background that are kind of helping them along. And you're
Yeah.
going to get to see like Ernie Hudson and stuff and all those people again, but they're not the focus of the movie, which is, in my opinion, the way it should be done. That's
Yeah.
how the last three Star Wars movies should have been done. It's they're in there enough to know, yeah, we're here, we're old, we're not the main characters in the movie, but we're here. These are the new people that are going to take over and slowly put the new people in. And Ghostbusters did that fantastic. So, and it's continuing to, So we'll see. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know what's coming, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen next, because there's a big shift in the industry that we're watching right now. And this movie, Dune. Me and Banjo Jones, I think me and you were having this conversation as well. Me and Banjo were watching something last week, and we were talking about movies that come along that change everything. The Matrix was one of them. When the Matrix came along, after that, everybody tried to have bullet time in their movies. They all tried to tell those kinds of stories. They all tried to emulate those special effects because the Matrix was such an original, unique thing when it came along that
I
people were
can
like, yeah.
honestly say that The Matrix was the last time I went into a movie and I was surprised, like
Yeah.
that the previews had not given away the movie. That you went in there and you're seeing the movie, and then it when they when he wakes up from the Matrix and you're like, the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
And it was just.
And they did that deliberately too, which was smart.
Yeah, which
Because they're
and the thing is, the reason one of the reasons that people aren't as fond of the second and third Matrix film was
The
because,
luster was gone.
well, no, it was they had pushed the envelope so far in the first one with the technology for filming that there was nowhere for, when they made the second and third one, there was nowhere for them to push the boundaries anymore. They had pushed the technology to its limits. And there was no giant leap forward that they could essentially use to like make it the spectacle again. It's like, oh, okay, well, this is the same cool stuff. I mean, you didn't have another gigantic leap forward in movie technology literally until Avatar.
Yeah, but it was also the storytelling too. Like the Matrix was a very unique concept for what it was at its time. Then you had, Harry Potter was another one. When Harry Potter came along, those movies were huge. They were done pretty well. So then you saw everybody going out and trying to buy up as many young adult titles as possible.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The movies. I think Dune is going to be the same way. People are going to look at Dune and went, what made Dune work? Let's try to copy that formula.
Who knows? And maybe that could be the final thing that's like, okay, we got to go to these like 80s sci-fi book series. Maybe we'll finally get a Neuromancer.
That's fine. But what I'm worried about is, like,
oh my,
I said,
God, if Villanova did Neuromancer, I think I would cream my pants. Like, I really think, like, that would be, yeah.
Yeah, but he's already done Blade Runner 2049, which takes place in that kind of a dystopia. So in his mind, he probably is going to be like, I already did this movie. Even though it's a different story, it still takes place on, like, a cyberpunk gritty kind of, you know, kind of thing. So he's already done a cyberpunk movie. I don't think it would go all that well for I don't think he would do it. But what was another movie that came along and changed everything? Well, you have these movies that come along where the industry sees them because of the money, because it's easier to do something that somebody else has done than it is to kind of come up with something new and creative and original on your own. I'm wondering what's going to happen now that Dune has been such a success. You might be right. These people might come along, but the downside to that, where I'm going with this, is the rub is, okay, they might make a Neuromancer. They might make whatever, these great books that's out there, but it's not going to be as good. It's going to be the same thing that you had with Harry Potter, where, okay, Harry Potter hit big. Let's go buy all these up. Like, and you're going to have like Twilight, you know, like we might have these 80s great books, but it's going to turn out like Twilight, and they're going to miss the point of what made those books and those stories. So
you do not finish that sentence, sir, because you were about to say what made those books great, and nothing made Twilight great. Twilight is an abomination.
No, I wasn't referring to Twilight. I was referring to like the books like Neuromancer and
because it sounded it sounded like that was where you were going unintentionally.
No, I would never do that. No, Twilight was the reason they bought Twilight, because it was a high selling young adult book, and it had werewolves and vampires. For a while, everything had to be werewolves and vampires. Everything was werewolves and vampires and witches and supernatural, and it got shitty. And Twilight kind of was one of the things that started that. So back to my point, though, is that with this happening with Dune and being so fresh and making so much money, I can see other industries going, let's do that. Let's do what he did. Let's have some kind of like, okay, well, we won't put it on a desert planet. We'll put it on an ice planet, or we'll put it on a water planet. Let's remake Waterworld, you know, and you're going to have these stories that should be good.
You know what I
be made into shitty movies.
You know what I think could really stand, like I think could work. I would like to see a remake of Logan's Run.
That would be one. Yeah, I 110% agree.
And I think
a month ago.
I think it would be a relevant story to tell right now.
Yeah.
Because it's like the whole point of Logan's Run is when you turn 18, your little crystal goes off and you gotta die. And then tell the story that the reason society changed this way was because some huge revolt of like basically the old people sticking around forever and ruining the world. So the young people rose up and said, nah, we're not gonna have this anymore. And like you just see videos of old geriatric politicians being led up to the guillotine.
They could do that.
I think
they
I'd like
do something like that.
I think I'd like to see that movie.
That would be, again, it's all going to be in the storytelling and how they do it, though. That's one of those things. Like I would really love to see, and I never thought I would say this, but I think The Black Hole could use a really good remake, but it'll never happen because The Black Hole's too dark of a movie for Disney to make in this day and age. But if it were to be remade, you know, I think with the special effects, because that movie at its time, say what you will about The Black Hole, it had a lot of Disney at one time was really good at coming up with new special effects, and they would push the envelope. That was one of the things that they were known for with their movies. And The Black Hole did do a lot of pushing of special effects and used a lot of practical effects. And nowadays they could retell that story, especially now. I just think it would work really well. But again, it's got to be done real well. But instead, what we're getting is this shitty remake of The Crow, where The Crow looks like Jared Leto's Joker. Like, nobody wants this movie to be made. And even when they show it a picture, have you seen it yet? Jared Leto, the new Crow?
I didn't know Jared Leto was playing it, but I've
it's seen... not. He's oh, okay. not. But he looks he the character that's playing the new Crow looks like Jared Leto's Crow. It looks like Jared Leto's Joker.
I have heard a lot of discussion that this is basically that somebody told an AI program to write a Crow sequel, and this is what they got.
Pretty much. You know, but then again, The Crow is one of those movies that's sacred to me and doesn't need to be remade. Leave it alone. They tried to make the sequel was okay. But after that, they did the shitty television show. And like the only way if they're going to make a Crow at this point, it should be it's not that person's story. It's another person that got visited by the Crow and was brought back to life to get vengeance for a different reason.
Yeah,
they tried it with a comic book. It was a female. It was okay, you know, but don't retell that story. We don't need to have that story retold. You know, that's why Blade Runner 2049 worked, because it wasn't the same story, but he did a really good job of capturing the feel and the essence of what Philip K. Dick stories were and the paranoia. And he did a fantastic job with tying it all together, because he wasn't telling the same story. If anything, he was telling the opposite story, where there's a guy who thinks he's alive, but he's not sure if he's an android or not.
Right.
You know, whereas the other one, he knows he's a replicant. He knows he's programmed to do it, but he thinks, wait a minute, you know, am I actually alive? Am I actually a real person? And that's what made it work, because it told this different side of the story in the same world. So it can be done, but again, it comes down, if it's going to be shitty storytelling and somebody just making a movie just to make a movie and try to cash in on something, if you're going to do it right, or don't bother doing it at all, because it'll suck. And it's like, why did you do this? Why did you make this? Nobody wants this. It doesn't need to be done. So I don't know. Those are my two cents. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place to wrap it up. So with any luck, we will have more episodes more regularly, but it's going to be at least a couple of weeks, because I've got Adepticon coming up. Ro, you got anything coming?
Not really. Trying to get back to work. And my life here has been chaos that's part of the reason why we haven't recorded. It's just, A, my heart hasn't been to, and I've had a lot of shit going on to do it. And I'm not going to lie, I don't like cranking an episode out every week. I would prefer when we sit down and do a show, we actually have something really genuine to say, and we're not just recording a show to record a show. But that's how I've always been. Even when I was podcasting with my old show, I got to a point where it's like, I just don't want to put a show out just to put a show out. So it's nice to have breaks and take a little bit of time and actually talk about the core stuff that really is important to us. That's just me, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, as usual, you can find us at the Old Nerds Drinking Facebook group. Come for the podcast, stay for the memes. And with that,
end of line.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now.
So, what's the plan? Take car, go to Mum's, kill Phil,
sorry,
grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
Might as well write them off.
Let's close up the bridge. Let's get out of here. Close it up, lights out.
Where are you headed, cowboy?
Nowhere special.
Nowhere special. I always wanted to go there.
We're going streaking! Yes!
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Please